Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Tuesday. It is the 5th of January. It is 2021. I don't know either, everybody. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're with me. Also today, I have the other half of Team Nightmare, Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it is 2021, but that doesn't mean 2021.
Oh, no. All right. So Charlotte's already sighing deeply. It's going to be that show, kids. All right. So, Andrew, I'd like to start with you because you wrote up an interesting tip yesterday. And of course, I think it's interesting because I was the one that said, hey, you should write this up. And this is about how to add your Mac to the mix when you're making phone calls.
Yes. So it's something you hear a lot about Apple products is that the ecosystem, the magic of, you know, having all these devices that work together. And one aspect of that is your iPhone isn't the only device on which you can take phone calls. Mm-hmm. You do need to have an iPhone, but if you have iOS 9, iPadOS 13, and then OS 10, 10.10 or later, you can, if your iPhone is nearby, you can pick up a call on your Mac or your iPad or even your iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have the same Apple ID signed into each device. So I wrote this step up. You just go to settings on your iPhone, settings, cellular, and then you'll see calls on other devices.
Yeah.
And then once you have that, there will be a separate toggle for each device you have. Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to answer a call on your Mac, but not on your iPad. You can just selectively turn those toggles on and off.
Mm-hmm. And then when you want to transfer a call, this is the part that prompted me to tell you, hey, you should write this up, was I wanted to take my Mac off the list. So when you're on the phone, you have that audio button. And if you only have speaker as an option, then that's all it's going to say is speaker. But if you have other choices, if you want to switch to your iPad or you want to switch to your Mac, like you were saying, when you tap on audio, you will see the names of those other devices kind of in a little pop-up list under the button. Mm-hmm. And I got really tired of my computer being there because I never take calls on my computer. So I wanted to turn that off. And when we were talking about it, it sounded like something that maybe not a lot of people knew about. So that was where the tip came from, a little inside baseball, I guess, for everybody mm-hmm. there. Now, part of what makes this work, if I recall correctly, is Wi-Fi calling.
Yeah, so Wi-Fi calling is... It's kind of a separate thing, but also not really, because so before when I said, so you can answer a call on your other device when your iPhone is nearby. However, if you go into the same cellular setting area and you have Wi-Fi calling enabled, then your iPhone doesn't even have to nearby as long as your other device is connected to the same network. Mm-hmm. Now, what I was trying to figure out is, maybe it depends on your carrier, because, for example, my carrier does let me use Wi-Fi calling. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned, the setting in my tip called add Wi-Fi calling for other devices, that didn't show up on my phone. Okay. So maybe that part is carrier dependent.
It might be, because I think there's only certain ones that offer like Wi-Fi calling, because I think somebody calls it Wi-Fi assist, where you sort of bolster your cell signal with the Wi-Fi that you're connected to. So
I have it here. It's called Wi-Fi call on mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Good to know.
My UK carrier. Yeah.
And it generally, like, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm going to put a big asterisk on that because I do not have all of the knowledge of the ins and outs of everybody's cell phone plans, but generally, turning on Wi-Fi calling only improves the reception for your phone, and it offers the option for taking calls on other devices, like we talked about, but generally doesn't cost anything extra. So if you're already connecting your phone to your home Wi-Fi network in the first place, this is just a way to help. For example, part of my house is the basement, which is partially underground. So sometimes the reception in the basement isn't great. So I usually have my phone on Wi-Fi. So turning on Wi-Fi calling just makes that easier. Yeah, a few phones back when we first moved here, I basically couldn't talk to anybody on the phone and go downstairs at the same time. That's gotten better. So I think Wi-Fi calling is part of that. Oh, yeah.
Andrew, we forgot with the multi-story house.
Yeah, Kelly and her multi-story house.
Okay.
What's that, three stories?
You're the worst.
You see, both this.
This is what I get for having you both on the show, is you just gang up on me. I see how it goes. Yeah.
But like, joking aside, in my very small flat, I also know, like, there were bits where signals patchy or whatever just because of where it is, and turning on Wi-Fi calling definitely improved the reception I get in my home.
Yeah. And I know, Charlotte, you are the most recent joiner of the party of I can talk to people through my watch, like Dick Tracy.
Oh yeah, that's a fun party,
which I love. Yes, I think really that's like fantastic. It. Yeah, and
I like it because it removes that moment of blind panic where someone has phoned you that you need to talk to, but you don't know where your phone is.
Yes,
so that's quite nice. Even it, like, there's been lots of occasions where I maybe been cooking and. Mm-hmm. Or something, and phones, you know, the other side.
Yeah.
And you can just start on your watch and then casually wander over and,
you know. I'm in the midst, but my phone's ringing and I can still pick it up.
And then you can move it onto your phone if you want.
Yeah. And the handoff between the phone and the watch is very, very nice.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever really had it be glitchy. I didn't have, I had an original issue Apple Watch, but I didn't get it the minute they came out. And I think it's always generally been pretty smooth, so I haven't had trouble with that. And so if you are a person who, like, now that everybody is spending a lot more time working from home and that sort of thing, if you would like to be able to pick up those calls while you are sitting at your Mac, you can totally do that. And another thing that is great that you can also do is basically the same thing but with text messages. So we all know you can get iMessage on your Mac, and you can have all those little blue bubbles back and forth with all your other blue bubble people all day long. But you can also get plain old text messages on your computer as well, right, Andrew?
Yes. I haven't written that tip.
Spoiler alert for the website, everybody. Yeah.
This is like part two.
Yeah. So, and that's not in the same place. I want to say that's under the messages options in both on your computer and on your device.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think this would be under cellular, so I'll figure it out.
Yeah. When you go to the iMessage preferences in messages on your Mac, there is a you can be reached for messages at. And you want to make sure that you have your phone number listed as one of those options under your iCloud account. You want to make sure that that's in there, because that way, then when somebody sends a message to your phone number, then it is something that can pop up on your computer. I know that's one piece of it. I haven't had a chance to look at it on my phone to find out where that setting is. But as long as I think the magic in this one is that making sure that you can be reached for messages at includes your phone number, and then that way like if you know Android users who are texting you, or you get text messages from a store or a doctor's appointment reminder, that kind of thing, or the one-time passwords that occasionally get texted to people, if you're doing that, then you'll want to make sure that your phone number's set up. And then that way, now, and I don't remember when this changed on macOS, but the you can fill in the code that you just got sent in messages in the app that you're in. That's also a macOS feature. It's been on iOS for a while. Like, we're texting you a secret code, and you have to text us that. You have to, you know, enter that number. That started out on iOS, but I know it's the thing that happens on macOS now.
I get that from Amazon. Mm-hmm. They send you a one-time password.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to.
I have to say on that, and maybe you guys. Yeah, you can. Interested to get you guys' take on this. So the reason you set up that two-factor authentication is to get that text message is for additional security.
Yes.
But if you're on the computer on your Mac and you get that password, as you're describing, it comes up and you can actually autofill.
Yes.
It basically will autofill it in.
Yes.
I feel like that somewhat defeats the object, or am I missing something?
Well, it defeats the point of the time-based one-time password, or TOTP, which is what you hear that called. Only because it's supposed to be a different device. So you're only supposed to get those like on your phone, and then you enter the code on your computer.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know that if someone has broken into my Amazon account,
right,
it comes up on my phone.
Yeah, please enter this code. Yeah. So you might be slightly lower risk group for that, Charlotte, only because your computer is a mini and a laptop, so you're less likely to leave yours somewhere.
So it might be. At the moment, that is certainly true.
Yes.
I am unlikely to leave my computer anywhere in the public sphere.
But even in real life, you probably aren't very... You're probably not inclined to take your mini with you to the coffee shop or anything.
No, it has never happened so far.
My laptop and I might be a different story. But it is a thing with the three.
But I mean, the same principle applies on an iPad, for instance, which you would take wherever. Because you can get, in the same way Andrew has described how you can get messages on your Mac, you can get them on your iPad as well.
Yes. And now is a good time.
Those same features apply.
Yeah, you can do all the same stuff on your iPad. I know a lot of people who, like, the iPad is their primary messaging. Like, if they get a message, they, like, won't bother replying until they get to their iPad where they can, you know, actually type and, you know, read a little better and have a conversation. So I've seen that. Another piece of this that we'll talk about is notifications. I know this is one of Charlotte's favorite features of messages now that she has a number of things that I'll make noise.
It actually it was not a problem. It was the Apple Watch that sent me over the edge because I didn't do what Kelly told me to do, which is when you get the Apple Watch. I did one thing that Kelly told me to do, which was put your apps into list view, not the bubble view.
Yes.
I did do that.
Yes. Which is great.
It is a good thing to do. I did not do turn off all the notifications. Do not mirror your phone notifications on your wrist.
Yes.
Until it was too late. And I think at some point, maybe around minute 15 to 20 of having my lovely new Apple Watch SE, when
you remember devices that I tried to tell you that this was a thing that should happen,
like when four devices had given me the same notifications at slightly differing time intervals,
yes, and usually with slightly different noises,
yes, I was really done at that point.
Yes, that one's not fun. What I was gonna do was briefly mention notifications in general. You know, January, like, you know, you get a new calendar or whatever and people want to, you know, make some changes. You know, nobody's making resolutions this year, I don't think. And that's awesome. But I think a thing that you may want to do is go through and review your notifications, because there are a number of things that you can do to make your notifications a lot more manageable. You can turn them off. I mean, that's always an option if you realize, like, why am I getting notified by that thing? About that thing, you don't have to use it. And then if you have a notification come up, if you long press on it, you get a menu in the top right of the three dots, and you get a couple of options. You get deliver quietly as a choice, so like I want it to show up on my lock screen but I don't want it to make noise. You also have turn off, so if you are looking at that going, this thing notifies me all the time about whatever and I never need that notification, you can just turn it off entirely. And then at the bottom, there's settings. And so then you can go in and adjust. Like, I don't want these. I don't want those. I don't want it to show up on my lock screen. Just give me a badge on the app. And when I open my phone and go to the application, then I'll know that there's something there I need to see. So you have a number of options that you can use for notifications. And I think the thing that ends up being news to a lot of people I talk to is not all of your notifications have to make noise when you get them. And you can just have them waiting on your phone for the next time you pick it up, because it's not going to be long before you pick up your phone again. Let's be honest. So pick up your phone and take a look, and maybe you can deliver quietly for some of those notifications and just see them later if they're not necessarily time sensitive. So that would be my pro tip from all of this, is deliver quietly, because I think it will help. The combination of that and turning off the notifications on your watch, apparently, like helping turn down the volume on those, I think makes it a lot. It makes it a lot more manageable, because if you do want all of those notifications, like maybe tell your news app notifications to deliver quietly, so they're just there waiting for you and not pestering you all the time. Like that might be a good place to start. That would be my guess.
And also, you should like turn off notifications or the sounds for like any of those games that will send you a notification that says something like, "What are you doing with your life? Play this game now." Or, "We miss you. Come back here."
Yeah. "Your lives have all refilled." That's the one. That's like I see that with my eyes, and I know that's what the sentence says. But what I'm reading is, "Please uninstall me."
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, and I'm guilty of this. Andrew probably is not, but I'm guilty of this. Like, something comes up and says, you know, "Can we notify you? Because we need to tell you stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, fine, whatever." And then I leave it. And then, you know, sometimes it's, you know, to my detriment. Why did I do this? I've also slowly shifted my stance on that to like, no, like I'm about to tap no. And then I go, "Wait. Do I want notifications? No, I don't want notifications." And then go, "No," as opposed to, "Yeah, sure, fine, whatever." Changing my default stance to no.
Depends on the app.
Yeah, me too. But like by and large, I'm going to say no until then I'm like, "Oh, wait, this, you know, yeah, I probably do want calendar events to show up, you know, with sound. So yes, please notify me."
But then for some of them, you just have a feeling that you should just press don't allow immediately.
Yes. I definitely have those.
Mostly those are the ones that ask me to spend money. Shopping apps.
Oh,
please,
yeah.
No notifications from clothing stores and things that I like.
Yes.
I'm with you there. Because we all know how this ends.
Yeah. I'm with you on that 100%, because I'm the same way. Like, yeah, if I've installed something that enables me to spend money, it doesn't get to notify me of anything. Yeah. There's a reason all my eBay notifications are deliver quietly. It's fine. Yeah. So notifications, I guess that would be the big tip for today. Maybe go turn some of those down. And if you have notification tips, or if there's something that you've come up with that you want to make sure we know so that we can tell other people about it, you can let us know at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I think that's going to do it for us today. We gave you a bunch of tips. I hope you find some of them helpful. And I want to thank everyone for being here today. So, Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you wrote up the tips. It always makes me happy when we have practical things we can pass on to people. Charlotte, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. And you can check out the latest episode of the Media Plus podcast, which is now up once you've listened to this one. And we've got Ben Smith from the New York Times on this week, so that was a fun conversation.
Listen to how casually Charlotte was like, "Oh, we had a fun conversation with Ben Smith of the New York Times."
Yeah.
Yeah. She says that like I talk about my multi-story house. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. You absolutely should go check out that conversation with Ben Smith. It's pretty great. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.